the entire nation of Israel. That means children, teenagers, young adults, old adults. We're supposed to be a priesthood. This was prior to the appointment of the Levitical priesthood. God's intention was for a nation of priests to represent Him on the earth. And then when you read the book of Leviticus, we're reading really the commandments that were given to the priests. And this newly redeemed people were a kingdom of priests. It was revealing how they were to fulfill their priestly calling as a nation. And then later on, God chose a group out of the nation that would represent Him as priests out of the tribe of Levi. And they were called the Levites. So God calls the nation to a priestly office, but the nation fails in that priestly office. God calls a group out of the nation to the priestly office. And guess what? That group also failed in its mission. It failed to obey God perfectly in their duties. So the priesthood, and in God's original intent, was not for a select few. It's not for people that walk around with a collar on, would you agree? But as a believer today, we are a priesthood. You are. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a priest. At the appointed time, God the Father sent His Son Jesus Christ, amen, to the cross to do what? To redeem us and reconcile us back to Him. And to break down the middle wall of division that was between those who were first called, who being the natural Israel, and who were given the covenants and the promises as God had promised to Abraham, amen, that I will bless those who bless you, amen, I'll make you great and a mighty nation. And He gave the covenants and the promises to the Jews, and He broke down the wall. Jesus broke down the wall between them and those who were not initially included in the covenants and promises. Guess who that would be? Us. That's right, the Gentiles. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. How many would agree with me that the Scripture says that God wants to do you good? Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, and that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished it in His flesh, the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two. thus making peace. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we have been blessed with Israel and the promise that God gave to Abraham that He would make him great. Amen? That all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. In the sense that it was through the seed that would come, amen, through Abraham's line, who is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come in the fullness of time. Be born of a virgin, amen? To redeem us. To purchase us. That's what that means. Back to God. Genesis 18:18, Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. This is speaking of God's intention to reveal himself through a people on the earth. As followers of Jesus, we are what? A priesthood. We've been talking about this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you, say you.
You.
Say me.
You.
Are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Who's that? Say, that's me, right? Doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter what the devil tells you. It's what God says that matters. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a priest unto God. And therefore, you are also called, even as Israel of old, to be an intercessor and a mediator between God and the people. Who's that? That's me. That's you. We are called to be an intercessor, a mediator between God and the people. And to make Him known in the earth. How many ever realized that the first man was a priest? Adam was a priest. That was his role on the earth. He was God's delegated channel on the earth. The first Adam sinned. The first Adam failed in his role. The nation of Israel failed in this role. Those chosen out of Israel failed in their role. But in due time, God Himself became a man. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who lived perfectly, who fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf. And now He has risen, amen, and exalted to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And there He, amen, sits as what? Our great high priest. We have a priest, a high priest in the heavens. And you and I are His spiritual priesthood on the earth. That's who we are. Do you think it's important that as a priest unto God, that we must be operating in that function? Do you think it's important to God that you and I pray? That we worship? That we intercede on behalf of other people.
Yes.
And that we represent Him to the people and the people, amen, to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So you and I have a great responsibility today. Hebrews chapter 5 says, no man takes this honor, what, of the priesthood to himself. But he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Jesus, the Son of God, the righteous one, the perfect one, our high priest, was made perfect through the things that he suffered. He understands what it is that you and I go through. He's able to empathize, sympathize with us in our weakness because he was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet he was without sin. How many know that if you are in Christ Jesus today, that God has called you? Some people are waiting around and saying, God, when are you going to call me? God has already called you. Yes. Not only did He call you, He chose you. Yes. He chose you. How many know that to as many as believed, amen, to them He gave the right, the authority to become sons of God? You and I have been called, we have been chosen to represent Him on the earth as a spiritual house, a priesthood made up of living stones, you and I, the body of Christ, His, amen, body on the earth. The head is in heaven. The body's on the earth. There is a connection between heaven and earth. And when heaven and earth meet, life swallows up death. Amen? The supernatural swallows up the natural. The superior overcomes the inferior. And you and I are the vessels that God chooses to work through in the earth. That's what's happening today. That's what happened this morning. But by faith, we step out into our priestly office as the body of Christ. Amen? Not for a select few, folks. That's been done away with. There are offices in the church. There are apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Yes, but every believer is a priest. We are a priesthood unto God. Are we functioning in that office? Jesus was perfect in every way. How many know that Jesus was the Word who was with the Father in the very beginning? How many would agree with me today that Jesus knew how to enter God's presence? I think God knows how, right? He was one with the Father. He was the Word. Amen? And therefore, He's a perfect high priest. But the Bible says in Hebrews that with His own blood, after having purchased our redemption, He entered into the heavenly tabernacle. And with His own blood, amen, He sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat for you and for me. So now we have been given access. We've been given a rite of passage into the very throne of our Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as a priest and a representative of the kingdom government of heaven on the earth, we need to be functioning in that. Why? Because it is God's intention that all be saved. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It was God's intention that Israel would represent Him in the earth, and that through Israel, the nations around them would be blessed. Instead of being a conduit through whom God worked, they became the sole recipient of the blessing. How many know the same thing happens in the church today? We become the sole recipients of God's blessings, but not a vessel that God works through to bless others and to bring others into the fold. I believe God wants to redeem the world. For God so loved the world. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. God gave us the responsibility, amen, to preach the gospel, to demonstrate the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. God gave you and I that responsibility. We need to step into who we are in Christ. Amen. And you'll never know who you are in Christ until you take the step of obedience and say, Lord, You told me to do it. It's that simple. I'm going to do what You said. And when you step out for Jesus, you're not disappointed. You're not ashamed. He's always there. He's simply waiting. He says, I gave You the authority. I delegate it to You. I've sent You. And He waits until you and I step out. When He sees us stepping out, He's like, He's right there. Come on. How many know the Holy Spirit always moves in cooperation with the will of the Father? He always moves in cooperation with His Word. Amen? He doesn't have His own agenda. They're one. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if that Spirit is in you and me, it shall give life to your mortal body. But that same Spirit will also teach you all things. Amen? Whatsoever the Lord taught, and He will show you things to come. And He is the Spirit of truth. And you shall know the truth. And the world needs to hear the truth. There's so much confusion today. So many people that are in confusion today because of all the mixed messages going on. Misrepresentations of God and His government. And you and I have been called. We've been chosen. We are the called out ones. We are the church. We are a priesthood unto God. And we have the authority in Jesus' name to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
And not worry about a thing. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Don't be afraid of spirits. Jesus said, I have all authority. And now I give you the authority. Even as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Pray. Thy kingdom come. We must pray. We must pray. His kingdom in. Why? He's waiting. He's just waiting for you. He's waiting for me. To agree with Him. To cooperate with Him. Come into an alignment with Him. Say, Lord, what is Your will? What do You want me to do today? I want to know what You want me to do. Because I want to be in agreement. Because I want to walk with You. Can two walk together unless they're in agreement? No. So we want to be into agreement with the Spirit who knows the mind, the heart of God. Amen? And reveals to us by His Spirit that which is freely given to us as a promise. Amen? That He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So we are a kingdom of priests, folks. Natural Israel still has a purpose in the earth. But what God has done is He's brought down the wall. So it's not like they're up here and we're down here. He's brought everybody in and He brought that wall down and He said, there's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female. There's not this, you know, I'm better than you thing anymore. We're all one body in Christ. How ridiculous it would be if the hand said, I'm more important than the foot, you know? And began to compete with the foot. Every part of our body, would you agree, is important?
Yes.
We want everything functioning in our physical bodies. So God wants every part of His body functioning in their role, in their place, amen, in the kingdom. So don't think that I don't have anything to offer because you do. If He called you, He chose you. If you're a born-again believer today, you have purpose.
Amen.
And that is a priesthood. Amen? That role to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And as in heaven, Father, as it is there, there's no sickness, there's no disease. Amen? There's no death. There's no sorrow. I remember someone saying one time, and I thought, I always held on to this, but somebody came up and says, well, I'm depressed. You know, well, we all have our moments of grief, don't we? We all have our moments of pity party. I've had mine. But he asked a very important question. He says, where's Jesus at in my heart? Is Jesus depressed? Well, no. Is Jesus beat down? Well, no. How many know that God is the one that can lift you up? How many know that God can tackle depression with no problem? Folks, we give in. We give in to these things. Come on. We let the devil beat us down. You might have to wrestle. You might have to fight it. But if you give in to it, it will take over.
Oh, yeah.
But if you resist, if you, first of all, you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Greater is he that's in us, the priesthood. He's the one, amen, that authorizes us, gives us access to pray. We don't know how to pray like we should, so God gave us his spirit to help us, amen, to pray, to enable us, to strengthen us. So if I am a priest, what am I doing? Am I walking in that? Am I living in that role? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Aren't you glad that we don't have to kill animals today? We don't have to go through all that stuff. What does God want us to do? I'll tell you, the number one thing God wants you to do is be thankful. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Amen? That's not a hard thing. It doesn't take a lot of thinking to recognize how blessed we are in Christ and all that He's done for us. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ that concerns you. Be thankful and praise His name. Offer up spiritual sacrifices of praise, sacrifices of joy. We celebrate the Lord. We give glory to God who has saved us, amen, and has called us with a holy calling. We are His people. We are a holy nation in Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, verse 9, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Put yourself in that scripture. Are you in Christ today? That's who you are. That's who we are. I am a royal priesthood. I am of that chosen generation. I am part of this holy nation. I am His own special people. For what reason? That you may proclaim the praises of Him. They overcame the devil by the word, what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What are we doing? We're representing God to the people. Let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you about the Lord of glory. Amen? Let me tell you what He's done in my life. Would you like to know the same God? Can I introduce you to Jesus? Just be bold and let Him know. I want to introduce you to my best friend. If I could introduce you to Jesus, would you like to meet Him? Well, most people say, well, sure. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Believing is seeing. So you and I, folks, are really a fulfillment of that which was promised to Abraham in Genesis 18:18. You and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, the redeemed ones, are the ones who have entered into His blessing, into those promises, and into that covenant. What is the covenant? It's the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. We are now part of His family. We've been grafted in. We have been adopted into, amen, the family. And we become heirs of Christ. Joint heirs, amen, with Jesus. Shabbatum. How many would believe today that you are important to God? I mean, do we really believe that we are important to God? Yeah. You first got to realize that you are important to God. If you were not important, He would not have gone through what He did to save you. Amen? He would not have gone to the cross unless He loved us, that you were important to Him. He loves you. You are important to Him. Are your prayers important? Absolutely. Are your prayers crucial? Yes. Are they necessary? Yes. We must pray. If we want to see His kingdom come, we must pray. How many feel like I need to pray more? I got my hands up. We need to pray more, folks. When we believe, when we know who we are, when we recognize that I'm a priesthood, I've got a responsibility, I've been called and chosen out to represent God, amen, in the earth, to represent Him to the people and bring the people to Him. When I recognize my role and the importance of that, how many believe that God's going to hear your prayers? God made it possible for us to talk to Him. He made it possible for us to make our petitions known. He made it possible for us to come into His throne. And why don't we take advantage of that more? I think this is one reason the devil knows how important prayer is. He knows how devastating a people who pray are to his kingdom. So he's going to do everything he can to distract us away from that prayer closet. Amen? And walking in prayer every day. He's going to cause all kinds of distractions. As soon as you set yourself to pray, the phone will ring. Something will happen. Folks, when we pray this morning, you know, we're not just offering empty words into the air. If you believe that, then that's going to be the extent of your reception. Amen. From God. You're not going to receive from God. But if you recognize who you are, what Christ has done for you, how He has positioned you as a priesthood, how He's simply just waiting on you and I to get busy and to cooperate and to agree with Him, if we recognize the privilege and the opportunity we have that Father God is listening, that Father God wants to release His kingdom unto you and through you as well, then we will pray more. Then we will pray with conviction. Then we will pray that where I know that this prayer is important because God hears me. And because I know that He hears me, I know that He's going to answer my prayer. When I agree with Father, amen? When I agree with the will of God, when I pray in agreement with the Spirit, then I know that He hears me. Is it not the Father's will that none perish? Amen? That all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. That is the will of God. We need to pray for our city. We need to pray for our families. Continue to pray, because when you pray, it moves heaven. And then after you have prayed, then you stand up and you step out for Jesus. There's a time to pray and there's a time to move. Amen? I'm almost finished. David could have stood up there with Goliath standing him down, you know. And he could have said, "Oh God, take care of the giant. Take care of the giant." Now, I would advise you to pray that way first. How many believe that David probably was praying? Yes. He first prayed. I don't believe he just presumptuously went out there against the giant. I believe he had first prayed, but then it came to the place of confrontation, and it was time for him to stand up. And when he stood up for his God would stand up for him. And when we stand up for our God will stand up for us. And so there's a time to pray, and there's a time to take that giant down. Because if he just stood there and said, "Oh God, get rid of the giant. God, get rid of the giant. God, would you take it away?" He's saying, "What is that in your hand, David? A sling? 5 smooth stones?" It didn't take much. All it took was a man who was willing to agree with God. To say, "Why are we letting this Philistine, amen, this enemy of God's people, punk us out? We are not going to allow that to happen. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world." Period. It's that way, period. There's no gray area. Well, what? Forget about what ifs. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. "I give you authority," He said. But if you don't believe it, it's like that dog. You know, we said this before. Sit, spot, sit. If a dog knows that you're afraid of it, you're more prone to be bit by a dog that knows you're afraid of it. But if you realize that dog is under your authority, when you tell it to sit, you're not going in your head, I hope it sits. I wonder if it's going to sit. It's like, no, this dog is under my authority. Whatever is under your authority will obey you.
That's right.
David knew that God was with him. He knew that God was for him, and he knew that giant was under his authority. Because he was God's man. Amen? Because you are a king and a priest under God. And therefore, you have authority in Jesus' name. You have, amen, power by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To tackle the enemies in your life, in your family, in our community. Folks, we have what it takes to turn this city around. There's a time to pray, and then there's a time to stand up and to step out for Jesus. But never one without the other. Are you with me? We need both. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for your word today. Would you stand?